louder. That'll work. Awesome. It is so good to have everyone here. It was a great week of Vacation Bible School. Tony's not in here, but let's give Tony a big hand. I mean, she put so much effort. Listen, there were volunteers all over the place. If there were any hiccups, I didn't see it because there was just so many people to swoop in so quickly to lift up anything that went wrong. It was just a wonderful week. I'll be praying for Tony. She's going straight from Vacation Bible School into children's camp, so preteen camp. And they leave at what time? Noon? Is that what I heard? Noon today. So just be praying for her, just for strength and for ability to get through that. Well, this morning, what I wanted to do is I'm not going to give you a full-on sermon. Let's give a big hand for that. there's so many ways to worship God, and if you haven't already worshiped through seeing the smiles on those kids' faces, the beautiful music that we played during the offertory, or maybe you were over there when we had a waffle bar. That's a way to worship in the morning. I want to just give you just a few thoughts of what God's been saying to me lately. Have you ever had this happen to where God says something to you and, you know, maybe it's just in your mind or something that you know you're supposed to do, and then he just keeps on coming? Have you had this before? Like, you know, you get this idea, okay, God, are you trying to tell me this? And all of a sudden you turn on the radio and there's a song, and that song is about that, and you just go, okay, God, I get it. And then, you know, you get somewhere, and as soon as you get out, someone says something, and you kind of go, okay, God, you know. I've kind of had that the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've had this thing where God just keeps on saying, trust me, trust me. And I want to kind of pull together a passage from the Old Testament, something happening with our budget at church and Vacation Bible School, and tell you how God just used all three of those things just to slam me over the head. What I've been studying this summer, and boy, I'm enjoying this, is I've been studying the character of David, King David out of the Old Testament. You know, this is something interesting. The number one person that if you look through the entire scripture that's mentioned more than anybody else in the entire Bible is Jesus, of course. But do you know who the number two person is? David. He's mentioned more often than Abraham, more often than Moses or Elijah. This idea that David, this man in the Old Testament, who the Bible says he's after God's own heart, is just mentioned so many times. So I've been studying David, like I said, we're going to spend the whole summer, I'm calling it Summer with the King. We're going to be talking about King David all week. But here I am, this thought's kind of going through my mind of God saying, trust me, trust me. And I start reading about David's call and his anointing to be king. Now, if y'all remember this from Sunday school, there was a king named Saul, but Saul was kind of doing some evil things. He wasn't trusting God. Then there was a prophet named Samuel. And Samuel was kind of the one that would come to Saul and say, hey, Saul, you need to do what God says. You're the king, and you need to do what God says. And finally, he could just tell that Saul wasn't going to be the king that would do what God says. And God started moving in Samuel's heart to say, we're going to have to find a new king. And we pick that up in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In chapter 16 it says this, it says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So he said, Samuel, you've got to stop worrying about the past. You've got to stop worrying about what Saul did. I think part of Samuel was going, God, you had me pick a king, and he just didn't work out at all. And I'm not really interested in helping you pick another king. You know, I just don't know if I trust you in this. And so God just finally just says, hey, quit mourning about that and get up and go to Bethlehem. Verse 2, it says, Samuel said, how can I go? What if Saul hears about me going to anoint another king? You know, surely he would kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what to do, and you are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So he said, you know, just go. Don't worry about what anybody else is going to say. Don't worry about what might happen. Just go. Verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said, and when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" And Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and consecrate yourself and come to sacrifice with me." And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw one of Jesse's sons. And this guy's name was Eliab. That would have been interesting. You know, I guess we still use the name David because David was such an important name in the Bible. I mean, there's David. I mean, we've got Davids in the room right now. Can you imagine if Eliab was the one that God chose? And how many of us would name our kids Eliab today? But anyway, and come here, Eliab. And he saw Eliab and he thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me." He looked at this kid and he was a big burly kid. And you could just tell that he had this leadership quality about him. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height." Height was important back then. The taller you are, the more you seem kingly. In fact, they said that King Saul was one of the tallest people in the entire country of Israel. And so Eliab was tall, but the Lord said, don't worry about his height. He said, "For I have rejected him, and the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab, well, that had been a good name, and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." And Jesse then says, "Shema, you pass by." But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse said. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, and we will not sit down until he arrives." And so he sent for him and had him brought in, and he was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Now, as I was reading that, I just started thinking about how many times Samuel had the opportunity to disregard what God was telling him to do. You know, first, like I said, he started thinking about the past. "Man, God, you know, I kind of feel let down. You didn't come through with Saul." And then he had what other people thought. You know, what if something happens and someone kills me because I'm doing this? Or even when Jesse brought out his sons, you know, here's Jesse going, "Well, let me help you out. I know what God wants for you. Yeah, check out Eliab here. Check out Shana." You know, he had the time where he could have just gone, "Listen, God, you know, I know what you're saying, but I'm going to listen to what other people are saying." And then he had that opportunity where he just didn't see the way God saw. And so instead of looking at, you know, who's got the best heart, he was looking at who's the big and the strong. And you know, he's kind of had, "This is the way I think it should go, God. And I know you're saying something else, but surely, God, you would go with the way that I think it should go." And then I started thinking, how many times do I do that? Yeah, how many times do I not do what God says because of something in my past? How many times do I not do what God says because I'm worried about what other people are saying? How many times do I get this preconceived thought of what it should be, and then I stop listening to what God is telling me to do because of my own preconceived thoughts? And as I read that, and I was going, you know, "God, why are you telling me this? You know, I'm a preacher, you know. I'm doing what you want me to do." And God just kept on laying that, you know, "Trust me, trust me, trust me." It's, you know, 2 weeks ago, we started looking at our budget at the church. Right now, churches across America, and especially in our church, finances are a little bit hard. And we saw a lot of lack of finances coming in. But last year, you know, as we were ending the year, we had a finance team that prayed over a budget and said, "This is the budget that we feel God is telling the church to do." And we started looking at the money coming in, and you know, I started going, well, you know what, we've got to, you know, tighten up the belt. We've got to make sure that we're doing things right. And so you can ask my wife, you can ask my staff, I got incredibly stressed out. I mean, just majorly stressed, because I was looking at these numbers and I was comparing it to what God told us to do, and they weren't adding up. And so I had Eric come up with a great budget where it would just slash everything, you know, just cut it, so that we would be good stewards. And we took that into the finance team. And on that finance team, guys, can I tell you, God put some godly men and women on that team. And as I went in there and I said, look, we're just going to have to cut salaries. We're going to have to cut budget. You know, we can't do this. That finance team looked at me and they said, in essence, it was a long conversation, but in essence, didn't God tell us to write this budget? And I just went, well, yeah, I guess he did. Well, if God told us to write this budget, why now should we move away from it? And I, you know, I kind of wanted to say, well, because the money's not coming in. And they said, well, do we have money in savings that God gave us? And I said, yeah. So worst case scenario, we're just going to have to put money from savings? I said, yeah. They said this, why don't we, instead of doing this, why don't we just say, we trust God that he gave us the budget we're supposed to have, and then see what God does with that. Why don't we call the church to prayer? Why don't we just, you know, just up our kind of ante and going out and sharing Jesus with people and let God do what God's going to do with the budget that he gave us? And I said, okay, God, you know, am I going Samuel here, or am I going to trust you? And then Vacation Bible School. It was wonderful, guys. There were, you saw the pictures. There were kids all over the place. It was organized chaos, right? I mean, you had little kids running this way and that way, and you had snacks going and recreation going, and me and Joel got up, and for some reason, I threw waffles out to the kids. It was just insanity. But in the middle of that insanity, our Bible study leaders, it taught about Jesus. And they handed out these cards one day. I would say, do you already know Jesus? Do you want to know more about Jesus? It was like cards like that. And then, you know, there were about four or five of them in the third grade that I got. And there were about four or five of them that said, I would like to know more about Jesus. And this was on Thursday, and I started pulling those kids in, you know, just taking some time to talk with them. And several of them, you know, just didn't understand the question. You know, I said, have you ever asked Jesus in your heart before? Yes. Why'd you put on here, you want to ask Jesus in your heart, you know? But I would talk to him in that order. But there were about three of them. It was just so beautiful. I would pull them aside, and I would think, okay, what questions are they going to ask? And, you know, I start thinking, okay, how am I going to answer this question? How am I going to answer that question? How am I going to answer this question? And those three kids that I pulled aside, each one of them, I just said, so you said you want to ask Jesus into your heart? And they said, yeah, how do you do that? And I said, well, I said, so I took them to Romans, you know, chapter 10, 9 through 10, where it says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and you will be saved. And I, you know, I told them about how it's a gift, free gift from God, and how the wages of sin is death, but this gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And the first one, you know, like we were alone, and the first one just looked at me and said, okay, yeah, I'll do that. You want to do that? I'll do that. And I said, so you just want to pray right now and ask you, yes, I want to do that. Let's do it, buddy. And so, you know, we prayed, and you know, I kind of said, well, we'll talk to mom and dad later, and we'll talk about baptism. And he went on, the next one came in, and it was the same thing. Yep, I want to do that. And I said, well, okay. And I prayed with the second one, and then the third one came in, and the third one, you know, just kind of looked at me, and I knew his parents went to a different church, and I knew he had a pastor at that church, and so, you know, I think I was kind of selling the opposite direction. I was kind of going, now you might want to wait, and you might want to pray with your parents, and you might want to get them to go and meet with your pastor. And he just looked at me and go, why can't I do it right now? All right, buddy. And so, you know, we stopped and prayed, and it was just time after time. And this was the thought that was going through those kids' mind. did God tell me to do that? And if he did, I don't care what other people are going to say. I don't care that I'm missing out on some snacks right now. I just want to do what God said to do. And I said, God, I want that faith. Give me some of that faith to where I read something and I don't sit here and go, oh, what's that going to mean? Or how's that going to work? Or what's people's going to say? You know, give me the heart where I just go, God, tell me what to do and let's go do it. Let's do it. That's your thought for this morning. Your thought for this morning is, what is God telling you to do? And what excuses have you put in the way of doing what God's told you to do? Maybe there's a relationship and you haven't talked to someone in years. And you hear God saying, you need to heal that relationship. And you start going, but God, I'm still mourning, right, over what that person said to me or this action that they took. Maybe today's the day that you say, I'm just going to push that aside. And I'm just going to go with this simple thought of, God, what do you want me to do? Maybe there's something that God has told you to do in your family. Maybe it's join a church or get involved in a ministry. And you've just said, hey, you know what? There's going to be a time in my life where I'm going to have more time, God. And you kind of throw that excuse up. Here's the question. The question is, why do you want to make it so complicated? If God told you to do something, why not today just commit to say, God, no matter what it takes, I'm going to just set my mind on doing what you want me to do. I don't know what it looks like for you, but here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a time of the Lord's Supper. Now, if y'all are new here, the Lord's Supper is simply a time that we remember what Jesus did for us, the incredible price he paid, how much he loved us so that he died on a cross to fix our relationship with him. As we go into this time, wouldn't it be neat that while you're thinking about how much Jesus loves you, for you just to also think about, what's that thing that I know God wants me to do that I haven't done? And as you're drinking the juice and eating the bread and thinking about Jesus' sacrifice for you, maybe it'll be that time where God just gives you that little bit of light to say, you can trust me because I loved you so much that I gave everything for you and I've got the best in mind. I'm going to invite Eric up to come and lead in our Lord's Supper.
A little bit this morning. Sorry about that. I want to call the ushers forward. The ushers will be passing out the elements, first the bread, then the juice. As they pass out the bread, before they pass out the bread, I'll say a short prayer. And if you would just hold those elements to you. The Lord's Supper is also a time for us to reflect, to meditate. The Bible tells us that this is a time for us to examine our hearts, as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So after the ushers pass out the elements, if you would wait, once that's been passed out, I'll read a short scripture and then we'll take the elements together. First the bread, then the juice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today to take this Lord's Supper, we come before you with an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness for the sacrifice that your Son, Jesus Christ, made. As we take the bread, we remember that he gave his body, he gave his life as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins and took that punishment upon himself. In Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.